Today we're focusing on summer missions, and we hope for many this is an enticement for you to get involved in some way. Perhaps next summer, joining one of these teams, involved in prayer, involved in support, involved both near and far, that this glorious news of Christ might shine forth to the nations. You see, God's plan for you is that you become like Christ. And Christ loves men from every tribe and tongue and nation. And so His desire is for you to become like Him, a world Christian, a Christian who labors here, but whose vision is on the ends of the earth. God's desire is that you be so in love with Him that your greatest passion be to know Christ. But the natural overflow of that passionate relationship is that you would desire for all men of all lands to experience the life-changing message of eternal life. Many of our neighbors have put their trust in Wall Street, in the great American economy, which, as you know, the past week has not been too terribly stable. But we build our lives upon a rock that never moves, upon a truth that is forever. And so as we think about BCF missions and world missions, I'd like us to remember it's not about us. It is about Christ and His desire for the earth to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. This morning we're going to look very briefly into the book of Acts to be reminded of His plan for us as His servants. We're going to see what happened on the day of Pentecost. Remember, Pentecost Sunday, 120 people were gathered together, gathered in an upper room, gathered to pray, gathered in fear, gathered in anxious waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. And into that room, God the Father and God the Son sent the third person of the Holy Trinity who came and transformed those lives in such a way that the world is forever changed. I think we mistakenly call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles. I think it's far more accurate. I think we should title it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit that began that work is still even today working out His plan that began there on that day of Pentecost. You remember, as we back up into history, that the Old Covenant was different from the New Covenant. In the Old Covenant, before Pentecost, the work of God focused on a nation. Now, it focuses on every nation. Before God had sent the Holy Spirit, the target was one land. Now the target is all the lands of the earth. Beforehand, spiritual life revolved around repeated sacrifices that reminded us of our sin. Now we focus on the one sacrifice of Christ that has so cleansed us that we are now the dwelling place of the living God. Before Pentecost, the work of worship centralized around a temple in Jerusalem. Now, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, you and I, we are temple of the living God. And so He can send us forth to the ends of the earth to shine forth His glorious presence. So there in Acts, the key verse, Acts 1:8, we will see how Christ, the instant before He departed, challenged yet one more time His disciples to be His witnesses. In Acts 1:8, we read, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the outermost parts of the earth." This morning as we look at Acts 1:8, we're going to see first our calling, second our clout, and thirdly our conclusion as we seek to be faithful as world Christians. We begin by considering our calling. Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." This is His commission to every Christian. That word in Greek is a beautiful word. It's the word martyrion, from whence we get the word martyr. Now that doesn't mean that all of us will be required to die in the process of sharing the gospel. But it actually did mean that for most of the apostles. But they were so filled with the love of Christ, so filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit, that to pour out their lives, to offer their lives unto death, was a small thing, to be faithful as His witnesses. And that very same Spirit is at work in our hearts today. You see, the Holy Spirit, the very same Spirit that empowered the apostles, dwells in you. And He has called us to open our mouths to testify of the great things that He has done and the great things He longs to do in the hearts of all men to the ends of the earth. He has called us to be His witnesses. Secondly, we see His clout, our clout. He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That powerful Spirit is the very same Spirit that dwells in us today. You see, Satan wants to tell you a lie. I don't know if you've ever thought about sharing the gospel with a friend, and just as you're about to open your mouth, these words come into your mind. Don't be so foolish. Don't say anything. It won't make any difference. It won't matter. They won't believe you. And they'll just think you're a fool. Just keep quiet. It's so much easier that way. And we so easily believe the words of the deceiver rather than believing the words of God. He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." The reality is, when you trusted Christ, the third person of the Trinity came in to dwell in you. He now lives in you. We're going to do a test here. I have a special tool here. What we're going to do, on the count of three, you're going to stretch forth your hand. And when I say you can take it down, you can take it down. Okay, is everyone ready? One, two, three. Okay, you take it down. Okay, one more time. One, two, three. Okay, you can put it down. Okay, now this time, we're going to open our mouths on the count of three. Okay, get ready. One, two, three. Good, open wide. Good. Okay, you can close your mouth. I feel like you're at the dentist. Okay, one more time. One, two, three. Amazing, close your mouth. Now, here's the question. Did you turn the light on? Of course not. I'm playing the Holy Spirit today. Because when you open your mouth, when you stretch forth your hand to serve, the power that dwells in you is released. He says you have power. We have the presence of God in us and with us, who will work through us to demonstrate the truth of the gospel. We have the cloud of the Almighty God as we go forth as His witnesses to serve Him in the truth of the gospel. And the conclusion of our mission, Jesus says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the outermost parts of the earth." The conclusion of our mission is when every nation has heard and understood the gospel message in their own language, in their own culture. Do you know that the Father is a hunter? He is seeking. In John 4, Jesus says, the Father seeks those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. But we fail to think how it is that God seeks. You see, when you open your mouth to share the gospel, when you go forth to a friend or to another land to share this glorious truth, as you speak, the Father is searching. He's searching for people who will hear the truth and respond to the message of the infinite love of God offered to us through the perfect sacrifice of Christ. As you witness, as you serve in His name, He is seeking for children to add to His family. And it is to every nation that we are called. The Lord is seeking worshipers because the day will come when men from every tribe and tongue and nation and kindred will be gathered together at the wedding feast of the Lamb. And there we will together worship Him as one body, as one bride, sanctified by the blessed blood of Christ. By our sharing the gospel, by our being faithful to proclaim this message, the Lord is adding people for that glorious day. And until there is a song of praise offered up in every language, in every tribe, in every nation, our task has not concluded. You remember Jesus said there's one thing, only one thing we can do to hearken the coming of the King. In Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come." And so the conclusion is to speak, to share, to serve in the gospel, both near and far, until every nation has heard and responded to that message of the love of Christ. So what are we doing? Are we becoming world Christians? Are we opening our mouth here? Are we willing to go and planning to go, preparing to serve, to take this gospel to the nations? Maybe there's some here that God is calling to give your life to take the gospel in another land, in another language. Others, it may mean simply serving here, getting involved with an international student and loving them to Christ, taking cookies to your neighbor and sharing with them the love of Christ. We have a calling. We have infinite clout. And the conclusion is to take this good news to the ends of the earth. He alone is worthy. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your faithful work of grace, how You have moved in power this past summer and how You're moving today. We thank You for the joy of the gospel that has transformed our lives. And we ask Your forgiveness for our guilty silence. And we pray that we would be moved by Your Holy Spirit to pray, to become fishers of men, to open our mouths, to stretch out our hands, that the power of the gospel might flow to the redeeming of our friends and our families and those of all lands, till that glorious day when we gather together at the wedding feast of the Lamb. Oh Lord, use us, and thank You for using us to make known Your excellencies. We give You thanks and praise in Christ's name. Amen.